Start recording.
All right. So I want to share with you a thought tonight by Rabbi Riskin. But before that, I want to share with you a halachic question. This is not a halachic shir. This is always a parsha shir, but it is a fascinating halachic question that Rabbi Riskin quotes. And I think it'll be interesting as a lead-in to tonight's topic. So there was a father whose son was a soldier in battle, probably in Europe at some point or another. And he was concerned because this was long enough ago that he had no contact with his son for an extended period of time. And he was nervous that, God forbid, something happened to his kid and his kid had died. So he makes a neder that he's going to give 1,000 whatevers to the shul if his son returns b'shalom to his father's house. So, as it would turn out, not that long after, the kid shows up and he is totally fine with his non-Jewish wife and a child. So the shul said, "V'shavti b'shalom b'beis avi." He's back. You owe us $1,000. And the father said, "No, no, no. I said v'shavti b'shalom. That would be at peace. This is not at peace to his father's house. And therefore, I shouldn't have to pay up." Only Jewish people can have a shiloh like that, right?
Is Rabbi Zolstein?
It's not. So it's Rabbi Yoshua Baumel and Emek Halacha. So the question is, La Halacha, what happens? So the psak that's given is like this. Take a look at halfway through the sources. It's a terrible copy tonight, I apologize. Between my printer and my copier, it's not great stuff. But take a look at Tful Yom. It's right after the Rashbam, and if you hit Lamed Bet Dalet, you went too far. Tvul Yom, it's a Masechta that I'm sure we all learn regularly. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah says, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin, HaTorim is a bor v'yamar. He takes Truma, or he's planning on taking Truma from the bor of wine, right? There's a big pit that's full of wine. And this is what he says, HaRizu Truma Amanash Shetaleh Shalom. He takes not the cup, but the pitcher, or the bucket, whatever, puts it down into the boar, and says, I am toreim this for truma al menash shetale shalom. It has to come out peacefully. Shalom and hashever and hashvicha, which would mean that it comes out without it breaking and without it spilling. If that comes out, so it's truma. Avalo minatoma, but if it comes up tamei, so then it would actually be considered truma. So Rabbi Baumel says, Tuma doesn't constitute a lack of shleimus. When we say that something is shalom, something is full, complete, Tuma is not part of it. So he says, now the halacha, what happens with this guy in our story? He said that he's going to come back, v'shavti v'shalom al v'savi, he's going to come back in peace. Well, what's peace? According to this Mishnah, peace is that you are shalom and hashever and hashvicha. You're not broken, you're not spilling, you're alive. But Toma is not a problem.
Does it shiver for his son who marries a guy?
It's a separate question. I mean, there's two separate questions here.
The question is
if he promises that his son will come home safely, and his son comes up, b'shalom, right? Those are his words. And his son does come home in this status. The question is that, now you want to say he has to sit shiva because whatever, that it's a separate topic. But
if he's sitting shiva, then
he's at home. Right, he's not considered alive.
That's complicated because he is alive and we know he's alive. So question,
the answer is he does a Torah and Dharma removal.
So according to Rabbi Baumel's psak is that the man would have to pay up in his neder lehalacha because based on this Mishnah, he's shalom and hashever and hashvicha, avalo min atumah. All right, so his wife is not Jewish, his kid's not Jewish, maybe they'll convert, who knows? That's how he paskins. Rabbi Riskin, of course, says, I don't know why he has to go to the Mishnah Tful Yom. You just have to go to the last couple, the last week's parsha of Vayetze, and this week's parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, to better understand what the halacha is. So let's take a look at Bereshis Chav Chet last week.
They're not even parallel cases.
Which one?
The vat of wine. It's Tevel. He has to give Truma regardless. Whether this pitcher comes out whole or the pitcher doesn't come out whole, he has to give Truma. He doesn't have to give, if he doesn't fill his nether on his son coming home.
No, because he's saying, Almanat, Hariza Truma, Almanas Shetala Shalom.
Yeah, this issue, this the quantity is going to be the Truma. Only if he doesn't give Truma, then the whole thing's puzzle. It's not puzzle, it's Tevel.
No, but he's saying this thing that I'm pulling out
correct
right now
will be designated as Truma. Otherwise, I have to designate something else as Truma. If I don't designate Truma, then the vat is Tevel. I can't have any other from it.
Right, but
it's not the same case.
No, but as Shetale Shalom, it has to come up B'Shalom.
I understand. What? So if it didn't come up B'Shalom, he doesn't have to give Truma on the vat of wine? Of course
no,
he does.
No, he still does. But the question is, what constitutes Shalom? Meaning this bucket right
know,
here.
But
he's saying the condition is null and void. Either way, he has to give the Truma.
Right. That, but that's my point.
No, but that's
whether it's this Truma or it's the other picture.
It's two separate pieces. Meaning, yes, it is true that the vat requires Truma to be taken on it. But the question is, what happened, this specific whatevering, right, this pitcher that he takes in there, what constitutes this being the Truma or not? If it comes up tummy, there's a dead rat inside it, right? It's still Truma. The Kohen loses out. Why does the Kohen lose out? The Kohen will say it's not. Because it what?
Okay.
So actually, according to the Mishnah, if it comes out tummy, the Kohen still gets it. So what does he do with it? It's his loss. As opposed to if the pitcher comes out cracked,
then he can't even fill the quantity.
Why? If it comes out, what is cracked? It doesn't mean completely cracked. I don't know.
He cares about the pitcher. I mean, the concept is whatever. We can debate it. The concept is silly. The pitcher came back with a crack in it, so the amount of the quantity of the wine inside that was designated for Truma is not going to be considered Truma anymore because the pitcher now has a crack, but I still have the designated quantity of Truma.
So I'll take another one. But the Kohen wants this specific one, too bad, you can't have it. Whereas if it comes...
So the Kohen's saying this, or the Baal's saying this?
The Baal's condition is Almanashe Talas Shalom.
It's a stupid statement. It's like...
A lot of Mishnayos and Gemaras have like crazy things that like they're teaching principles. The principle here is, what is Shalom? So we say Shalom is Shalom and Hashem and Hashvicha Avalom and Atoma. So if I want to know, is something that's Tameh considered Shalom? The answer is yes. That's how they parallel each other. Again, why? I'm far from an expert in Halacha and certainly not an expert in Tful Yom. But Rabbi Riskin makes the point that why, if you want to talk about B'Shalom, why do you have to go so far back there? Go to last week's Parsha. Right, Vayidar Yaakov Neder, Limur. God, right, God makes Yaakov makes a neder to God saying, Yelu kimi madiv, God is with me, Ushmarani baderech hazer asher anochi holeich, and I will go on the way that I went, v'natan li lechem lechol begil bosh. So God, he says, if God is with me, what does he define as God being with me? Meaning, is God with me that I'm going to be wildly successful? Is God with me that I'm going to be the best of the best? It doesn't seem like that way. He said, God is with me, and what does that mean? I'll have lechem le'echol, bread, and I'll have clothing to wear. This is not very like, we're not setting the bar very high. V'shavdi b'shalom b'beit avi, and I'll come back to my father's house b'shalom, v'yashem li le'lokim, and God will be a God to my God. And if he doesn't return B'Shalom, God won't be his God? What does that mean? V'ayevin azot asher samti matseva, and this stone, which I made a matseva, yeh beit elokim, it'll be the house of God. V'chal asher titen li aser asfenulach, and everything he gives me, will take ma'aser on. If all he gets is lechem lechol, begel lebosh, this won't be much of a ma'aser. But that's what he says. He says, if God does all these good things to me, and I come back to my father's house B'Shalom, then God will be my God, and I'm going to have Maaser. So what does it mean, V'shavti B'Shalom? I'm going to come back in peace.
As opposed to pieces.
So what does that mean? So you're slowly saying it means that he's going to physically be intact. What does that mean?
It means that he survives Esav. Right. He survives
whatever his time in exile is.
Right.
So that's a very low bar of Ashavti B'Shalom. Anybody else?
I say it's two ways. He comes back in peace from the threat of Esav, and he doesn't have to kill anybody. He doesn't have to act in violence either.
So
you're not in peace if you have to act either. So you should go in peace and come in peace. You should not have to do anything unnatural to come home.
So he's returning the same way he left, essentially.
Right. As Rashi says, Shalom Aleichem.
Well, that's not. Meaning, at least that's not what you said.
No, he just said he comes back the same way he's going. Yeah. That's what he just said.
All right. So Rashi says, "B'shalom shalom inachet." Shalom el ma bidarchi lavan. He says, "I want to be the same wholesome person I am now when I return." Okay.
He didn't say that.
What?
He's not wholesome.
As wholesome.
He just cheated.
As wholesome as Yaakov will be, right? So whatever it is, I won't learn from the ways of Lavan. Okay?
Yeah. So I should be the cheating, lying kid that I was when I got to the house. It's like I went out in the first place. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And then he'd be Lavan in his own game. Very innocently, of course.
Yeah, innocently, because he's not...
No, that actually, I can't watch it. I can't find a way to say that he beat Lavan cheating.
Not a matter of cheating, just... He's not this innocent little kid if he was able to...
He wasn't the straight up and up. Let's leave it at that.
I don't know. I mean, the way he beats Lavan is really, like, completely miraculous. Like, it just doesn't... Yeah. It makes no sense. Meaning, to make a deal with Lavan that, you know, that they do, it like, scientifically makes no sense, right? The people tend to look, right? You know, hopefully, right? Parents and children look somewhat similar, right? So to expect that you're going to have, like, all the white sheep are going to, like, have, you know, children with each other and, like, produce not white sheep, it just doesn't seem to make sense. So for that to happen, it seems to be that he's, you know, he's relying on God. I mean, he does that weird thing with the stick, and then they drink while looking at the stick, which also, you got to wonder what exactly that means. Okay, so that's Rashi. I hope that when I come back, I'm going to be Shalim and Achay. So what does the Netziv say? The Netziv continues and says, Afal gav sheif ticho la shivo la adama, Avam Yashav Azab Shalom Velomuka Umuuna the Gam Shal Iraq Allah Ella Adama Ella Gamel Beitavi. He says what he wants is more meaning you could return back in many different ways. You could return back beaten, afflicted, body broken. So he says, I don't want to return like that. I would like to come back in a better place than that. Meaning, it's not just to survive. I guess, like, you know, from nowadays, you know, we would use the expression, he doesn't want to just survive, he would like to thrive. So I don't want to come back all broken and just barely, but I'd like to come back healthy and in one piece. And not only that, but I don't only want to return El Ha'adamah to this land, but El Gamal Beit Avi. I would like to also return back to the house of my father. So that's the Netziv.
A little more tame than the last one you shared.
Than the last Netziv?
Which is kind of funny, because he wants to come back to the house of his father, but the house of his father wasn't exactly good to him. Mm-hmm.
So that's a fair point. Let's hold off on that, but I think that is a fair point that we have to address.
You got a fair point for that?
Wow. Josh, you get a lot more compliments than most people. All right. Fine. Next, Rabbeinu Bechaye. V'shavti b'shalom el beit avi. Yitachin lomar kol masha hotzi Yaakov mipiv b'neder zeh hakol niskayim bo. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, you should just know that it seems like everything that he comes out of his mouth in his neder happens. Ushmarani b'derech hazeh. Pasuk Chaf, he says, God should protect me. Hina Hashem Yisbarach Shamar Oto B'derech Ahu. God protects him. V'lechem. I love this one. V'natan li lechem. What's lechem? Hu anashim. It's the women. Shelakach mi lashon kirena lo v'yoch alechem. V'chein ki mitalechem asher uochel. Right? What? Yeah. What is watch? What does Rashi say in what is it? It's in the end. It's by Eishes Potifar. Right. So what does he say? He says, right. I'm what am I in charge of? Ki mitalechem asher uochel. I'm in charge of everything except for the bread he eats. That's what he says to Eishes Potifar. Potifar has me in charge of everything but the food he eats. And then Rashi says, "What's kimat alechem asher ochel?" That is his wife. So Rabbeinu Bechaye says that what it, when he says "Ushmarani," it's keep me safe. But not only lechem, you'll give me a wife. And what's vabeged who? Shenita sher b'sibat zon lavan shebegadim in atzemer. When he says "beged elbo," shall have clothing. It means the great wealth that will come from the sheep that I will have, which will allow me to make clothing. V'shavdi b'shalom shekatuv v'yavo Yaakov shalem. It's what we say in the end, v'yavo Yaakov shalem. Yaakov comes back shalem, v'yashem li l'elokim, u'shekatuv v'yikra lo kel elokei Yisrael. So what's he looking for? Family, clothing, food, shelter. That's what he wants. If he gets all of that, then that's the Shavdi Yisholom Bo Beis Avi, and I'll have to pay up on it. Well, it seems like we're asking for more and more. Originally, Rashi says, what does he just need? To be spiritually okay. He can come back his...
Oh, so this guy's putter. He said B'Shalim, and he didn't come back with a wife.
He
came back with a shiksa. So he's putter. He's putter on the nether.
There you go. Okay. So that Rabbi Riskin does not use the...
you have a second life as a toe-in.
He does not... Rabbi Riskin does not use Rabbeinu Bechaye as one of his sources, but okay, if he uses that as a source, so then yeah, he's pater from the ned there. Rashi starts off by saying he sets the bar. I don't want to say low, because to be by Beis Lavan for 21 years and come back spiritually intact, or 20 years and come back spiritually intact, is a pretty big deal. But what does it mean physically? His body could be entirely broken, and yet he would say, "I didn't learn me darkei lavan."
He also didn't sleep all those years, so he can't be too loud, right?
Yeah, could you imagine what we feel like on Friday night, and now he's got 20 years of that on him? But right when he comes back in,
saying he worked on Shabbos.
Was on Shabbos.
I'm saying
they observed all the mitzvahs.
No.
Dan Chuslar.
They were Shabbos. No, they weren't in Israel.
They were Chuslar. Do Shabbos and Chuslar.
All right, well.
So anyway, yeah. So that's Rashi. Netziv Eyad said, no, he has to come back physically safe. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, no, it's more than that. It's not just physically safe. He has to come back with like real success. If he's not successful, then he doesn't watch it. He doesn't. That would not be a kiyum of v'shavti b'shalom. And then the Radak adds in another one. V'shavti b'shalom v'yishav b'vanim. I should come back with a family, a wife and children. Kizulatam lo yeshalom lo v'lo lavi v'lo imo. He says, because if it's not.
Rav Riskin didn't. This is exactly.
He also doesn't
quote. He doesn't quote him.
He doesn't quote any of these. This should be much shorter if I didn't have Radak. But the Radak says no, because in order to be at peace with his father and mother, he has to come back with these kids. Because the t'nai that his father sent him out with was don't take a yisham if no Canaan. I don't want you to take a wife from the girls of Canaan. If he doesn't come back, be Shabbanim, what's going to happen? So he's going to have to take a wife and children, a wife from there, and he will have children from there, and then he'll never be b'shalom with his parents. Shavti b'shalom el beit avi. I have to be at peace el beit avi with my father's house. So obviously the Radak is also more than just Rashi and the Netziv. Now take a look at the Rashbam.
But wasn't his mission from Rivka was to go to Lavan's house and essentially find a wife anyway, build a family there, no?
So his mission from his mother was don't get killed. Right? Mom said...
Right away, go to Lavan's house, he'll protect you.
And just stay there.
Right.
Right. Yamim Achadim, whatever that means.
Right. So in that case, then, wouldn't you think that Shalom just means, all right, I'm at ease, like I'm staying out safely. Like, I just... complete my mission, come back to my family, make my family happy, and now I'll have shalom bayis. Well, as opposed to in the case with the soldier, the peace isn't like family. That wasn't really the real intention. It just seems like, oh, shalom means like, oh yeah, have him come back for more. I'm worried about him. Have him come like complete, like what Rashi said, with all body parts and like a clear mind, and that's it.
I hear. I'm not sure. So, the truth is, I really honestly don't, I whatever, just as an aside, I don't really care so much. Halacha is not like my fun topic to teach. I only brought that in because I think it's a fascinating halachic shayla. And in the end, we will pass in the shayla just a little bit according to Rabbi Riskin. But to me, I think the more important piece and the bigger focus is on Yaakov and what Vishavti Vishalom means for him. But we'll see as we go along. But the Rashbam, which the shul holds by, says Vishavti Vishalom is Kamo Shamarli Vashuvoticha la demazot. Shalom is just to return. If you return, not safely, you can come back with half your body parts ripped off. Spiritually, you're a mess. But the Rashbam says the Shavti B'Shalom is just come back to this land.
So we don't care what condition.
Yaakov said,
as long as your body kind of rolls in.
Wait, then why does he have to say B'Shalom? Right. Because it said B'Shavti El Beis Aviv, whatever.
Because alive is on the lowest level.
He doesn't say alive, he says in peace.
Yeah. So if he comes back,
if he
comes back there,
no, but he doesn't use the word. If you read the same pasuk without the word b'shalom, b'shavti el beis aviv, v'yashem li. When I come, God's going to be my God. It means I'm alive. It can be within pieces, but I'm alive. You don't need the word b'shalom. B'shalom is totally not necessary.
Okay, so the Rashbam clearly didn't feel that way, and he felt v'ashivoticha l'demazot. Or it. What I asked in my neder was right. I want all this stuff. I just want to come back. So if I come back, that's a kiyum of Vishavti B'Shalom. Are you going to say that it's a very low level of peace? Yeah. I admit it. Meaning, honestly, if I was Yaakov Avinu and I was setting the bar of what I would want to have to pay up on, I wouldn't want to have to pay up 10% of my earnings or of my, you know, my wealth. As minimal as it is, if all I come back is breathing.
Do you really think is it reasonable to ask for Kodesh Baruch Hu to come go into Golus and come back positive? The whole point is not to be in Golus. So if he comes out into Golus and any positive thing happens, what's the encouragement? What's the reason to be in Eretz Yisrael?
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to say, like, is it like right? Is it like isn't it just enough when we're in Golus to survive? Meaning, how many people...
He comes back just surviving, then he's got nothing to get 10% up, so it's not really a problem.
10% of the shirt off his back.
Right, but the point is that he come back with just exactly what he needed or whatever, then we wouldn't be in Golus now, right? It wouldn't be a sense of you can accomplish more, you can accomplish something in Golus. Because he comes back with more from Golus, then look at us now. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah,
I can prosper outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it's okay to be here.
Yeah, but I think that's a uniquely American perspective on Galus. Of the thousands of years the Jewish people have been in Galus, most of them have been pretty bad. Meaning, like, I love this story, but there was a kid once that asked a Rebbe in California, he said, like, when Mashiach comes, do we really have to leave? Because he had been to, and now this story takes place in the 70s or 80s. So in the 70s or 80s, if you went to Israel and you saw what Israel looked like, and then you went back to Beverly Hills, and you looked there, why? Meaning, what's my draw to go to Israel? But I think that if you would have asked, you know, most of the Jews in Europe for most of the thousands of years the Jews were in Europe, with the exception of a couple places for a couple years here and there, yeah, we'll take it because it's such a step up. But I think that could be what the Rashbam's point is, meaning v'shavti v'shalom, when you're in Galus, just returning. That's like the benchmark of success.
Yeah.
Because most people don't. Again, that's a very hard one for us to fathom because we're like in a pretty good place.
It should be harder for us to fathom this week and now than ever before. This time that we're in right now, evident, exacerbated by this week, exemplified by the events of this week, should be a reminder that no, getting out of here alive is a big deal.
Right. So by the very fact that none of us made Aliyah in the last, 2 days, despite what happened in Jersey City, which, by the way, we could have said this after the shooting in California. We could have said this after Pittsburgh. We could say it all the time. But the reason why we look at it and say, well, it's actually like in the global picture. And I'm not saying that I actually yesterday had that thought in my head. I was like, why are we still here? Like, what is the point? I did have that thought in my head. But what happened? I went to sleep. I woke up this morning. Life was back to normal. And until the next thing, it'll be back to normal also. So I think it's true that, yes, it should be a reminder. But for us, the Rashbam is a tough one to swallow because we can't really fully believe that it's so bad in Galus. But if you talk to Jews over the, thousands of years of exile, most people will say, no, Galus is not a good place to be.
Not just that, traveling was treacherous.
You're saying just traveling in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, do I really care what Veshavti B'Shalom is? You could take any of these.
Clearly you don't.
You could take any of these. Does it really matter? The fact is that how does Yaakov come back? Well, he's wildly successful. Everything is amazing.
Well, unless Esau would have robbed him or whatever, or destroyed him on the way back.
Well, right, but I'm saying we know the end of the story.
Yeah, it's on the way there.
Right. But the thing is, we know how the story ends. There's no suspense. Yes. Mm. He's going to get through the interaction with Esav. It's going to be touch and go there for a little bit, guys. But in the end, he's going to be fine. And then what happens? He does eventually come back to his father's house. And somewhere along the way, he brings him a korban. Presumably, that's where Aser HaSvenu Lach. He gives a tenth to God. So he does all that. Everything works out fine. So what I want to ask is a separate question. We probably have touched on this question over the years, but I think it's a fair question to wonder. Yaakov Avinu leaves last week. Well, it's fascinating. He leaves Canaan and returns to Canaan all in one parsha. There's a lot that happens from Vayetze to the end. He comes back. He sees the angels. Vayikrachem, he calls the place Machanayim. And presumably he's where? Presumably he's in Israel, right? Seems Rashi would imply that he's in Israel based on the fact that the Malachim, the Malachim of Chutz Laaretz leave.
Right.
Malachim of Eretz Yisrael come back. I'm okay with that. I don't think that's like seems like too much of a stretch of pshat, because he is talking about some angels of God anyway. So he comes back. Where does he come back into Eretz Canaan? So let's assume that he more or less comes back through the Jordan River. I crossed over the river. This is his tefillah to God. Right? That's what he says. So the question really is, he's in like more or less Israel proper. Fair? If he's in Israel proper, why doesn't he go straight home? Now let's assume that he crosses the top of the Jordan River, which would make sense why he ends up in Shechem along the way. Shechem is to the northern part of the Jordan. He doesn't cross at the bottom like the Jewish people in Yehoshua. So he doesn't come in by Yericho. But all right, so he's gonna come down. How long should it take him, even with his massive amount of wealth and all of his flocks, how long should it take him to get from the northern part of the Jordan back to Hebron?
It's the bus ride.
20 years.
Or he's coming down
it took him 40 from Egypt.
Took 40, right?
It should not take all that long. Now you're going to tell me maybe his dad is not in Hebron, his dad is in Be'er Sheva.
But also, even just moving the number of possessions that he has, and it's not a simple thing.
Okay, I'm going to give you like a time frame. He leaves Haran. Okay? Haran is in somewhere on the Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, somewhere like that border. All right? From there to the Jordan River is for sure longer than from the other side of the Jordan River, even to Be'er Sheva. He makes it in 7 days. From Haran to the border of Israel.
But he also has a reason to be moving quite quickly at that point.
Okay. Well, but wouldn't he have a reason now? He hasn't seen his parents in 20 years.
But his parent, his father shoot him away. He banished him. That's what we just said.
What about his mother? Ago.
His mother's dead.
No, she's not.
No.
That didn't happen yet. But if you want to say that she died, there's no reason to believe he ever sees her again. But let's assume that Rashi is correct and that it's not one of these wild midrashim, which it doesn't have to be, that when Devorah dies, because why does he have to bury Devorah in this week's parsha? Who cares? Right? Devorah Mineches Rivka, right? So he buries her after Shechem. So when he does all that, like, let's assume, like, for real, that that's when Rivka died. But that's almost 2 years after he meets Esav. So what we're saying is it takes him a week to get from Haran to the Jordan, and then it takes him 2 years to get from northern Israel to southern Israel. Now, if you're walking backwards on your head, you should probably make it in less than 2 years. So why does it take him so long? Why does he schlep so far? Why does he schlep it along so slowly? Anybody ever wonder that question? Now, the Mefarshim or the Midrashic explanation is he's punished for that because he doesn't run home. What happens? Yeah, Yosef is in exile for more years. That's one punishment. Next, he doesn't see his mom. All of these things. But why? Why does he schlep along? Why wouldn't he go? This is like totally throwing me off. It's 9:24 only, and we're having brownies, not 9:30.
Sorry, I'm a little early.
No, it's all right. I just, you know, now I have to like recalibrate my whole shear.
This is like the beginning of Chabura till the end.
I know, like with the dessert.
You should finish in the next 2 years. We'll be okay.
Excellent.
Sorry, I usually mean to mess you up with my comments, not with my food.
So anyhow,
when he comes to meet Esau. Right, so Esav already knew he was coming because the messengers tell him Esav's coming to meet you.
Well, he sends a message to Esav.
But Esav cleared, this was Esav territory. Esav had people who knew when people were coming into his territory.
I don't think that has to be pshat in the psukim. I think pshat in the psukim is, meaning it's not that when the security camera on my phone tells me that somebody's entered into my land. I think it's more like this. When somebody knocks on my door and says, "Hey, I'm here." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, they're here."
I think that's where the word "vegam" comes in. Vegam hu holech likrascha. He's also coming to meet you. Before we got to him,
I don't have a chumash here, but.
But anyway, maybe he was waiting for Yitzchak to make an overture, to make sure he was welcome back in his house.
Oh, I don't need a chumash. I'm good. I actually have the two psukim I need right here. So maybe was he waiting? Well, let's say he was waiting for that to happen. But it never does happen. Because Yitzchak doesn't send the message. Right? And Yaakov comes back on his own. What happens? So what happens? Yaakov sends angels, messengers, whatever it is, to Esav saying, tell your brother, tell Esav, this is what your servant Yaakov says, I lived with Lavan and I've delayed until now. He sends a message. Meaning, now, I don't remember, somebody started up with me along the way, and I think they stopped coming to the, they did stop coming to the Chabura. I don't think it was for this specific comment, but I definitely, like, brushed them aside for this one. He's like, no, for all 22 years, Esav was waiting with like sentries on the road to see what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, boom, they saw it. I'm like, I don't think so. I think it's like, it's great.
Coming to Chabura because of that?
No, I think somebody, I think that was just one of the many times that I blew them off for what they told me. It's all right. I try very hard to be polite and respectful when I deflect people. I know you're thinking, what?
Not
really?
Me.
But
don't tell me what I'm thinking.
Anyhow.
He said he made a fair point.
But I, you know what? Josh and his whole family could hear this. He gets more compliments probably than anyone else.
He needs more
compliments. That's true. But yes, he does get, he also gets like,
but it's like a quarterback,
he gets
pass
shot,
right?
He gets shot down.
Quarterback pass, right? I get shot down more than anybody else too. So
game on.
Anyway, Baruch Hashem. So fine. But I think the
presumption that there is absolutely no communication between the different parties, I think, is really I think it's a little bit too wild.
That for 20 years they weren't in touch with each other?
How did he know where his father was? How did he know where Esav was? There had to be communication.
So this is what I think. I think that how did he know where his father was? His father lived pretty much his entire life in two places. Either Hebron, or Be'er Sheva, or Be'er Lachai Roi. That's it. So, if I'm traveling back, and let's assume that Yitzhak was wealthy, which I understand the Ibn Ezra did not feel that way, but let's assume that he was wealthy. So, you're gonna see when you pass Hebron, in the hills of Hebron, you're gonna see, whoa, those are dad's flock. Wait, no, they're not there. All right, dad's not here. Let's continue heading down south. Where do they go? Be'er Sheva. What happens if he gets to Be'er Sheva and his dad's not there? All right, he must be in Be'er Lachai Roi. Now, what if he goes to all three of those places and he's not there? Then he would have found him originally when he got to Hebron. Why? Because he would have been buried in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah. How does he know where Esav is? So that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe he sends his messengers. Maybe he asks people on his way back. I don't think they need to be in touch with each other for those 20 years.
Okay. I'm not saying they're having a daily correspondence or emailing each other. I'm just saying that there is a lot of evidence that, you know, that there is communication between different parties. You know, throughout Tanakh. It's not just this.
It seems like the Haran family and the Eretz Canaan family have almost no communication whatsoever.
Yeah, Leah and Rachel knew who they were going to get married. That's what Leah was sad, but she knew about Esav.
That's Ruach HaKodesh.
No, that's a really big medrash.
Right.
But all right,
there was no message that said, "Hey, you're slated for my son."
It's now 9:30.
Now we have
chocolate. Anyway, it didn't have a brownie. Can now eat.
Now we have to start wrapping it up.
But let's put that aside for a second. We can agree to disagree on that. It's not going to make or break the story. The truth is, whether Esav had people waiting on the highway for 20 years or not, he was wealthy enough that he could afford to hire people to sit there. And if there weren't people, and Yaakov just sent the message to him, said, I'm back, that's fine. He comes back, and what does he say? Im lavan garti va'eichar rata. Rashi says, davar acher garti b'gematria tarya. Kelomar im lavan arasha garti. He says, I was with Lavan Arasha, I lived with him for all these years, and I kept all the mitzvos. According to Rashi, just Rashi Lashitaso.
Why did you say Gematria?
This is...
Just change the letters around.
This is what? This is a kiyum of Shabti B'Shalom Obeis Savi. He says, Shalem Minachet Shalom El Madidarchi Lavan. That's what he says. I was there for all those years. I didn't learn anything from him. So, what does that mean? It means that the nether came true, and I should do what? V'shati v'shalom bol v'savi. I should now go back in peace to my father's house. That's what should happen. And yet, it doesn't happen because he spends two more years draying around Canaan, not far from his father, and yet he doesn't go home. Why is that? That's what I want to try to figure out.
Wait, say that premise again? Because he wrote, B'shafti B'shalom El Beis Avi. He didn't say, B'shafti B'shalom El Eretz Yisrael.
No, because if this happens, that I come back, right, Shalom in Achait, then I'm going to go back to my father's house. Now I can, B'shafti B'shalom, I can return in peace to my father's house. It happened, according to Rashi, right? I did not learn Midarachei Lavan. So if I didn't learn from Darkei Lavan,
that's the definition now. Darkei Lavan is by returning to my father's house is because I didn't do any Averos.
I am who I was when I left Shalom in Achait, therefore I can go back home to my father's house. But he doesn't. He waits 2 years to do that. Why?
The truth is,
no. If you watch carefully, what would have happened? Let's just play what if. If we could, or choose your own adventure. If you were to skip from after meeting Esav to the end of the parsha when he returns home, what wouldn't have happened to him? Well, let's just go over some of the things that happened to him.
He wouldn't be named Yisrael.
Dina, no, that he would have already been.
Why? He always fight with his Sar Esav because
no,
Esav
but I'm saying after Esav. Let's after just Esav. say he had to be.
Oh, if he would have gone straight.
He had to come to Esav just to like make some overture of peace. Fine. But after that, what would not have happened to him?
Dina
wouldn't have been raped.
Shimon Levi
wouldn't have killed all of Shechem. So he wouldn't have been like ticked off at them. What else would have happened? Or wouldn't have happened? Rachel wouldn't have died.
Why not? That was on the way to...
She wouldn't have been pregnant yet.
Yeah, but...
I know, right? If you're going to play this game, you got to play it right. If he goes home a week later... But she has a baby 2 years later, she wouldn't be 9 months pregnant.
Well, but he cursed her. Who says it was waiting?
She had to have that baby. She wasn't pregnant. I'm saying...
What do you mean? She could have caught a cold.
What? Then she wouldn't have had the kid. She needed to have the 12th kid. No, she needed to have Binyamin. And Reuven would never have whatever happened with Bilhah. All that could have been avoided. Do you remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books when we were kids? They were like awesome because like you read it one way and it was like a happy story. You read it the other way and like, dear God,
yep.
Right? But that's what we could do in theory. If Yaakov had done what he should have done and not spent these 2 years, then what would have happened? The story would have been very different. Why can't Yaakov go home? Let's take a look at the last...
How could the story not be different?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Like so?
I know. I really don't understand what you mean. I'm not trying to be like.
The 12 had to be more like all those things. Like, so they wouldn't have happened. So the future would have been altered. Who says there has to be? You know, like.
So fine. So let's agree.
Like
let's agree that maybe Rachel would have died anyway. I don't know why that has to happen, but let's agree that that had to happen.
Yeah.
Because he cursed her and she can come into Israel even though she died in Beit Lechem.
So he has six kids instead of 12 kids. So what?
Like, he had 11 already. Yeah, so we're going to be fine. So especially the last one.
11 instead of 12.
But we would all agree that if he had gone straight home and never had gone into Shechem, Dina wouldn't have been kidnapped and raped.
I don't know what other terrible things would have happened.
Yeah.
It would have been a week later.
What if is... Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
My question is, why can't he just go home? Why couldn't he do that? So, let's take a look at the last... Sorry, let's take a look at the last source. Vatamat Rachel. Rachel dies. Vatikaver b'derach Efrati Beit Lachem. She's buried on the way to Efrat, Beit Lachem. Vayatsev Yaakov matzev al kvuratahi matzev al kvurat Rachel adayom. Yaakov... erects a monument on her grave, and this is Kever Rachel Adayom. Vayisa Yisrael vayeta lo mihala lemigdal Eder. Yaakov still doesn't go home. He can't. He sets up his tents from there to Migdal Eder. Vayhi b'shechon Yisrael ba'aretz ahi. And when Yaakov was living in that area, vayelech Reuven vayishkav b'ilha pilegash aviv vayishma Yisrael. Reuven goes, I'm going to literally translate this, understanding that I'm going to get myself into some trouble somewhere. But he sleeps with Bilhah, the concubine of his father, Vayishma Yisrael. Is the pasuk over? No, the pasuk is not over. There is a pay, there's a space, but if you look, pasuk chav gimel doesn't start just yet. And chav bet was vayhi b'shchon Yisrael. There is the middle of a pasuk, it's a pasuk bem, it's a pasuk, Yisrael's in et nachta. Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. Yaakov's sons were 12. I don't know about you, but if God forbid this was me, and this was my kid, I don't know if my reaction would be 1, 2, 3, 12. Don't know if that's how it would go. There's a big break there. What is that break? That break is happening in Yaakov's mind. There are a lot of thoughts that are going through Yaakov's mind. I imagine that the gamut of emotions that are running through his mind at that moment are quite great. He's probably angry. He's likely sad. What does he want to do to his kid? He might want to kill him. He might want to
banish him.
He might want to yell at him. And yet, what does he do? He doesn't say anything. But the Torah tells us, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shneimasar. Yaakov's sons are 12.
Yeah, so maybe in his head he was thinking like, now.
So is that it? Just like Mati said, it's a pretty low barometer, but we've set the barometer pretty low tonight.
But they're also
Vayu b'nei Yaakov. It's just physically he did not kill Reuven yet, so he has 12 sons.
They were degraded because it was Yisrael, and now it's b'nei Yaakov.
Okay.
Or he's thinking in his head like, if you take it literally, then now there's a chance that there might be a 13th kid to Yaakov, and that would just ruin the prophecy. But then now you're having 12.
Oh, meaning because he's not gonna sleep with Bilhah anymore, so he can't have a kid from Leah, yeah. So a kid from Zilpah. But okay, actually somebody does say that, by the way. Yeah,
I see it as that this was a pretty traumatic event, Reuven sleeping with Bilhah.
Yeah,
but Yaakov still considers him a full son.
Right,
but even so, after that event, he still had 12 sons.
Right. That's what Rashi's comment is exactly what Henry said. The fact that
concubine, it wasn't Rachel or Leah.
I'm not sure.
The concubines were second class citizens.
Yeah, but Leah.
That's
Leah's still named Zilpah's kid.
Right. So I would say like this: Rashi does say that what Henry said.
It had to have been significant, otherwise I wouldn't have said it.
When it's all over. Yaakov. Now
you're sleeping with someone that your father slept with.
It's his.
Like whoever it is, even if it's the person on the corner, it's wrong.
But it was a maid.
But this was this undoubtedly the most trouble I've ever gotten into for speaking between Mincha Maariv and Young Israel was on these psukim. I literally had somebody. I don't want to say yell, because they definitely didn't yell. But I had somebody that scolded me. This person never came to the Chabura. This person scolded me, but good, for giving this Dvar Torah, of translating these psukim literally. Even though, there are Rishonim, not like Gush people, Rishonim. No, it just means that they were 500 to 1,000 years earlier. Exactly. And they're like in the Mikros Gedolos. They say it that it's translated literally. He did not want to hear it. Holy cow. So fine. I have not spoken about those pups.
So this person thinks that Reuven did not sleep.
Well, that is what the Gemara says. And that is what Rashi says. And that is what the Medrash says. And that is
happened.
That, no, what the...
He moved her bed.
Yeah, the... You could make that face, but that is like the consensus opinion
of the elementary school
like,
system.
Yes. of like
the elementary school system.
Of rabbinic literature. Nice. Of rabbinic literature. I would tell you that if you were to spend the whole weekend going through all the Rishonim on this Pasuk, you will find, I haven't gone through all the Mefarshim, but I've gone through enough that I'm willing to say that it's like a pretty accurate poll. There are a lot more people that say Rashi's opinion that he did not really sleep with her, as opposed to, I believe, the Abar Benel, who says the opposite, that it is literal.
Rashi was also an apologist. He couldn't deal with making Reuven out to be.
I know, but it's not just Rashi. Meaning,
it's
like
a democracy, though.
I like being able to like say that Rashi's wrong, because then you're able to go against the grain. It's true. But like you say
Rashi's wrong all the time.
Rashi is far from Rashi's not a Dasi. No, I'm not. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. My point is that Rashi is not a Das Yachid on this one. I mean, there's sometimes Rashi says things that you sit there and say, like, I don't know, that can't possibly be pshat. And then you look at all the other Mefarshim and they're like, no, we don't agree with Rashi. And maybe they'll respectfully disagree with Rashi, but this is not where I don't think it's like where Rashi says it and all the other Mefarshim like go counter to Rashi.
I just don't understand. Rashi's Rashi, but like, has he lost his mind? It says it's right here.
Yeah, so it's a hard one. But then again, the problem is, how do you consider Reuven one of the Shiftei Ka if he slept with his father's wife? That's like
what?
Very much aser lahalacha.
Let's get back to the premise that he was.
Or left out sometimes.
Let's get
bring my Hank walkie-talkie. Yeah.
Let's get back to the premise of whether the Targum admits us or not.
Yeah. I would probably venture a guess. That even if they did not keep, Rashi's Lashon Tosso. But even if you say that they
It's only Gematria.
Even if you don't say that they kept Tariag Mitzvos.
Okay. Let's say they kept Shabbos B'nei Noach. Where is it in Shabbos B'nei Noach? This is us, sir. It's not,
you would have
not to, believable to say
you'd have to look through the Arayos very carefully. But I'm not so sure
it's
that
you're more believable to read this, to read the shot here, and to say that there were no, that the mitzvahs weren't there, that they didn't keep them because he was in Golus. Oh, see, if you want to say the mitzvahs were there,
he's back in Israel. Yeah, Josh.
All right, fine, I'm going back to my original premise that the mitzvahs didn't happen.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, whatever you want to say with it.
It's gotta be one of those.
I have a hard time believing that it wasn't like a problem. But
that's what it is.
No, but that is definitely.
Oh, it's supposed to be like a
shavicha. No, that's what. No. That tariag mitzvos is if your father sleeps with a woman, you can't sleep
right.
with her. That's fine.
Right.
The question is whether that's in the Zion mitzvos b'nei Noach also.
No.
I don't know. Whatever. Let's come back to the question at the beginning. the question at the beginning was what's with Shavti B'Shalom, and then the question is why does Yaakov take so long to come back? This is what Rabbi Riskin suggests, and I'm not going to go into what he paskins lahalacha for the shul and the soldier. You can try to figure it out on your own, but this is what he says. Yaakov can't go back to his father's house. Because Yaakov wonders, can my father really forgive me? I really betrayed my father's trust. Can I ever be forgiven by my father? He wonders. I don't know.
He forgave Reuven.
Yeah.
No, so but that's what Rabbi Riskin says. What happens? He comes back into Canaan, he makes peace with Esav, everything is good. He should go home, but he says, I can't go home. You know why? Because I'm still wondering, can a father forgive a son for something so egregious?
Well, you know what? Had his father come to be Menachem Avil when Rachel died, we would have had the answer.
His father was blind and Ani Chash of Kameis, he couldn't travel. What he does is, he goes through each of the scenarios, and he's not ready to return because he says, I don't know. I don't know if my father could forgive me. But when Reuven does whatever Reuven does, and it's pretty bad, and it's such a lack of kavod to his father. When that happens, Yaakov has that moment where the text gives us that long pause. And in his mind, he wonders very simply, can I forgive Reuven? And he does forgive Reuven. And the reason he forgives Reuven is he recognizes that pretty much there's almost nothing a kid could do and their father or their mother won't forgive them. But he needs to see that from the other perspective. He needs to see that from the perspective of being the father. And when he sees what Reuven did, and yet in his heart, with all the anger and with all the sadness, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shneimasar, his kids are still 12. That's when he's able, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayavo Yaakov Yitzhak Aviv Mamre, Kiryat Arba Hi Chavron, Asher Garsham Avram Yitzhak. He's able to come home. That's when he says, V'shavti B'shalom. I am at peace with my father. I know that I was able to make peace with Reuven, and therefore I know that my father can make peace with me. And that's when he comes home. And if the question is, why does it take so long? He needs to wait for the moment to believe that his father could forgive him. And that moment can't come until he experiences something that is equivalent to what his father went through. And then he can come home. And that's why it happens there. But I know that David doesn't like that.
No, we still go back to, and that's why he waited 2 years. I mean, it's just, it's
he silly. Wasn't prepared.
But
he,
it's just, it's silly. That all of a sudden this happens.
That's when this happened. He wasn't waiting for 2 years.
He would have, he would have continued. I don't know if he would, if, let's say Reuven hadn't done this. Let's say Reuven had said, you know what? Fine. My mother died, you know, my.
So we're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
And he might never have been able to come back.
And that's just silly.
Not really.
I mean, trying to give that as the reasoning is just ridiculous.
No, but you know what I think? I think David, the fact is, he has such a fractured relationship with his father.
But he doesn't have one with his mother. It's one thing to have a fractured relationship with both of them.
She's dead.
Yeah, by the way, this is definitely like that song where you just like it and just want to repeat it. See, this is like this year that I'm going to never forget. This is awesome.
All right.
Are we done?
I think so.